We're going to read Acts 2 in a minute, page 886, if you want to find it, or maybe a couple minutes. But first I want to say, you know, there's all sorts of things that distract us in life, and I'm, as your pastor, am included in that. And this week, our son Dave and his family surprised us by flying to Massachusetts on Monday on very short notice. And on Tuesday, they took Wally to Boston, and we went to visit my mom. So there's Dave, our son, and his wife, and two sons. And then on Wednesday, we went together to Boston for Wally's cancer treatments. And then we spent the day at Mass General Hospital, and we went to a Red Sox game that night. And the Phillies' second batter hit a fly ball to our section, and our son Dave caught the ball while Jesse was trying to protect the boys because it came so quickly. So that was really fun. It was a really fun evening, and I was interested to see how they make, it was my second time only to go to Fenway, how they make a huge stadium, 37,000 seats, mostly filled. They make it feel like a neighborhood gathering. They use comforting rituals. They honor people serving in the military. A girl struggling with cancer sang the national anthem from her wheelchair. They play the same favorite songs at the same time. In the middle of the eighth inning, maybe some of you know this, everyone sings the Neil Diamond song, Sweet Caroline. And there's a special feeling when 35,000 people from all over the region and the world sing, Sweet Caroline, oh, 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 right? Good times never felt so good, so good, so good, right? Okay, so you guys know this more than I do. Maybe you've been there more than two times. Somehow the crowd feels good and unified, connected. And the word that came to me as I had been thinking about this sermon was fellowship. The fellowship of baseball? In the fellowship in the dictionary is friendly association, especially with people who share the same interest. A healthy society needs human fellowship. But of course, the brief feeling of connection ended when the game ended and everyone went their separate ways. Baseball fellowship with 35,000 people is nice, but it's not adequate human connection. I suppose maybe there are people who live all alone and come to the baseball games for their human connection, but we need other kinds of fellowship. And then I think of the books by Tolkien, made into movies, The Fellowship of the Ring. Anybody know those stories, either from the books or the movies? That group of people, and actually humans and other elves and different kinds of imaginary people, they were bound together as a fellowship with a shared passion and task, stopping the power, which was to stop the powerful evil that was taking over the world. It was a hard, dangerous journey, not at all like having fun at a baseball game. We're doing a series about the priorities and the affirmations of the Covenant Church. I'm grateful for this time, in this time of distraction. I'm grateful to be, my own mind isn't quite doing as well as sometimes. I've had covenant materials to quote, so some of this is, if you read covenant materials, some of it will come straight from that, change it around in my own direction. But here, what we've been doing, number one, we affirm the centrality of the Word of God. Of course, the Bible is central to what we do. We affirm the necessity of the new birth, where Jesus says you must be born again, born of both the water and of the Spirit. So if you don't know whether you have had a spiritual birth, talk to me. Talk to one of your friends here at church. If you think you've only been born from your mother of the water, but have not known about being born of the Spirit of Jesus. The third one, we affirm a commitment to the whole mission of the church. We talked about that last week, that the whole mission of the church is, yes, to have people turn to Christ and receive an eternal relationship with God. But the second part of that is to transform us into people who build the kingdom on the earth. Build your kingdom here is the song we just sang. We are the church. We hold hope for the world. So today we're talking about number four. We affirm the church as a fellowship of believers. So let's look at the words. Affirm, to declare, proclaim, pledge, to confirm this is true, that the church is a fellowship of believers. A church is not just a building, but mainly, more important than the building, is this body of Christ that we are, a body or organization of religious believers. In Greek, ekklesia, an assembly of God's people. Fellowship comes from the Greek koinonia, which refers to community, communion with God and with humans, joint participation, sharing and intimacy, being part of the unity of God's family. And we've been singing about that today. And believers, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So there's believers. Let's read our passage from Acts 2 now. It's just four verses or a few verses, which describes the early days of the church after the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, after 3,000 people repented and turned to Christ in one day, and every day more turned. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. Sounds like a fellowship of believers, doesn't it? We affirm the church as a communion or fellowship of believers characterized by mutual participation in and sharing of the new life in Christ. The church as a fellowship of believers exists on several levels. There's the worldwide Christian church across denominations and across the world. And we have been a part of that in a very real way. That we have been, and yet we come to church and we have Christ in common. We have the Word of God in common. In particular, the covenant church. One of our founding scriptures is Psalm 119, 63. I am a companion, a friend of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Specifically, Orchard Covenant Church is a fellowship of believers. It gets smaller and smaller, doesn't it? Every person, and that includes every person who comes in our doors, is welcome to participate as part of this fellowship, whether you have become a believer or not. You are part of the fellowship here formed by believers. Worship, and you can join in. Worship, munch and mingle, classes and study groups, friendships, prayers. I think I forgot to mention, again, we'd have at least three study groups starting up in about 3 weeks. Friendships, prayers, and acts of service to the church and community. If you want to work with children, that's great, but we need to get to know you and you need to have a background check for the children's protection and so that parents know this is a safe place. Some of us are church members also. That's another level. Believers who become members. At Orchard Covenant, the fellowship of believers includes our need for disciples to join as pledged members. Our congregational polity requires that we have members to vote on church leadership decisions and actions. So membership is by confession of personal faith in Jesus Christ. And it sounds complicated, but a believer will become a member by desiring to grow in living a biblical faith, which calls us to the church. Attending a membership class, meeting with me, the pastor, applying and making a statement of faith to the church council, and being voted in by the congregation. Membership is not exclusive or conformist, but we do challenge believers to ongoing discipleship, to imitate Christ, to practice truth and integrity, kindness and compassion, forgiveness and reconciliation in all relationships, in church and community, including integrity in singleness and marriage. This sounds like a lot, but it is all filled with grace and helps us to be a true fellowship, and it's very doable. Our true fellowship is to be the united and connected people of God. The first covenanters called themselves mission friends. Mission. We talked about last week, didn't we? We join God in God's mission to see more disciples among more populations in a more caring and just world. Mission is not just about me, one person. It's about what we can do together. The early mission, in fact, I sometimes feel I do very little here because all of you do, many of you do the work of the church in a way that I don't. The early mission friends in difficult times created relational small groups for prayer, Bible study, and God worked powerfully through them as they started ministries of education and healing and caring for vulnerable people, elderly and orphans. And then friends. Everyone should have at least one spiritual friendship, a relationship or a group where your faith in Christ, you have faith in Christ and the Word of God in common. In spiritual friendships, a spark of Holy Spirit fire connects us, and we sense the presence of God, of Jesus among us. Spiritual friends often study and pray together, serve together like with a mission, support and encourage one another in life's challenges. Spiritual friendships often develop in small groups who read and discuss the Bible together. Wally and I were in small study groups since we started college in 1972. I was in a group before that at home, and Wally was too, I think. But we opened the Bible together. We grew together. These groups were the source of many spiritual friendships through the years, the source of the sense of the Spirit of Jesus working in our lives. Those friends walked with Jesus with us. We grew spiritually in a way that made us want to keep growing like that and help others get that experience too that lasts a lifetime. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. As a fellowship of believers, we also believe in, there's a phrase that we use called the priesthood of all believers. That is, we all share in the ministry of Jesus through the church. The pastor or the priest does not and cannot do everything. The church is not an institution, organization, or building. It is a grace-filled fellowship of believers who are equally loved by God and equally called to God's family to participate in the life and mission of Jesus Christ. Community is not an option. Wait a minute. Community, not having community is not an option. I said it backwards, didn't I? I had it written here. Because God mandates that Jesus' disciples live our life of faith together. The Bible does. It's not good for us to try to do this alone. That doesn't mean we don't have quiet times of solitude in prayer, which are a very good part of a healthy life with Christ. But we go through life in relationship with Christ and with the body of Christ. It's a cross-shaped life, relationship with God and with people. It's not always easy either, but that's okay. It's how it is supposed to be. The rituals of worship, songs, prayer, scripture, even our sacraments emphasize community. In baptism, in the Lord's Supper, we experience a fellowship that transcends time and place. In our scripture reading, Paul calls the Christian community the body of Christ, a living community composed of many members, each different but mutually interdependent. When we are in community with one another, when all of God's people are interacting with one another in worship and in service, is when God's will is most clearly revealed and discerned. The parts of the body are not just about function, what a hand does and what a feet does, but about the people. Every part, every person is needed. We cannot act like we don't need one of us. We must discover how each of us serves as a valuable part of a whole and healthy community. In Galatians, we read that the fellowship of believers is to be a family of equals. Within the Christian community, there is to be neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean that in claiming our oneness, we ignore different ethnicities, economic situations, and genders. Of course, that would be ridiculous. The passage means that these three areas, race, class, and gender, are to be of no advantage or disadvantage within the body of Christ. The fellowship and mutual ministry of the church ultimately needs the gifts and leadership of men and women and all the ethnos, all the peoples, without artificial boundaries that our world builds up. We do affirm that God calls some men and women into professional ministry too, to be set apart as servants of the word and sacraments. I am the 34th pastor set apart to serve this church, this fellowship of believers, and your search committee is working hard to find number 35. And so pray for them. I believe God will provide what you need. But we credentialed ministers do not have superior status. All people are of equal value in God's kingdom. We say we are equal in creation, men and women, and servants and pastors, equal in the fall, equal in redemption, and equal in the kingdom. Yes, we have a call from God for special functions, but we are neither perfect nor indispensable. There is only one indispensable ministry, the ministry of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And every believer is called to be a part of the working body of Christ, a gathered community set apart. I read this before for our offertory sentence, but I want to read it again because I think it's beautiful. From 1 Peter, "But you, meaning you Christians, not you Americans and you Kenyans and so forth, but you, body of Christ, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood," and that's not me, that's all of you, that's all of us, "a holy nation." That's where God, Paul says, we've moved from one country to another. We now live in the country of Christ, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I pray that you will live in the marvelous light. When we gather to seek, amen, yes. When we gather to sing and pray and eat together, I often sense Holy Spirit connections. Even on a Sunday morning when I'm not sure, sometimes I'm not sure what God will do, but then God does. I sense the work that God is doing among us and in us. No, we are not 35,000 strong like at Fenway Park, but ultimately we are part of something much larger, stronger, and more long-lasting than that the world desperately needs. Unconditional love, Holy Spirit power greater than ourselves, confession of sin. Yes, our world needs confession of sin, not just excusing. Forgiveness, reconciliation, and true fellowship in our day-to-day lives that does not give up, but builds people up. And we will find that truly the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'd like to pray with you. God, I just thank you for this affirmation. We have the church as a fellowship of believers. And I thank you for the many ways that our congregation is a true fellowship of believers. We have so much in common, even though we are so different. Then that is you, Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God, keep helping us be even more of a fellowship of believers who are called to each other and also called to witness in the world. I just pray that for us today, for this week, for this fall, and for next year, through all the changes, that this fellowship will hold by the Holy Spirit, hold us together, bind us together, Lord, in love, the love of God. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.